Blog Talk Radio.
As I said yesterday in my statement, it's humbling, and it's flattering, and it's a testament to our staff and student athletes that other people express interest, in us. And but as I said yesterday, I'm excited about where we're going here at the University of Miami. And excited about, our student athletes coming back next week. We got some mid-year enrollees coming in this week. Excited to get back on the road. Just really ready to move forward. So it's one of those things where I really don't talk about other programs or other universities. I think it's really just important that we talk about the University of Miami and the direction that we're going. So there are some universities that have expressed interest the last couple of years, and I've never addressed them, any of them, and I'm not going to start to do that now. I'm not a candidate for any other job, and I plan to be at the University of Miami. The guys that were here in this program delivered us, through a very dark time, and we're so grateful to them, and we've made progress with them. Understand, number one, I'm responsible for everything in the program. That's including the defense. The second thing, I'm responsible for personnel. The third thing is in terms of schemes and direction that we want to go. Again, we're not where we want to be, but we had an opportunity to win 9 games. I would have loved to have an opportunity to win 10 and keep moving forward. That did not happen. But if you look at, some of the things that I talked about this morning that I've been looking at, just the progress that we made, whether it's, the sacks, the fumbles, caused or recovered, interceptions, all of those things. This has been probably in my 3 years, this is the most, I don't want to say explosive, but we made explosive plays on defense. We scored 5 touchdowns on defense. We blocked 4 kicks for the first time, and just things of that nature. So those, to me, are all positive trends. The other thing, we went from, 31 penalties on defense a year ago to, I think, 10 or 12, if I'm not mistaken, so to 10. From 31 penalties playing all those young guys a year ago. So although we're not where we want to be, there's so many little things that I look at as the head coach that say, the answer right now is not change. The answer is continuity. The answer is continued progress with our young people, continued development, and I would be lying to you if I said I wasn't excited about the talent that we have coming back on defense. I am. I'm excited. We had a lot of playmakers that are coming back, number one, and number two, we're adding 13 to 16 more recruits to that. So I'm excited about that, and again, it's my decision, and my decision was that starting over for these young people is not the answer. Continuity. Continue progress, continue with the same position coaches and techniques and scheme was the better answer for me. And I made that decision after careful evaluation.
Al Golden withdraws from the Penn State coaching search and announces that his entire coaching staff will return with him for the 2013 season. Tonight's show is going to deal quite a bit with anger. Why are so many sections of the Miami fan base angry at Al Golden for going to the brink of a return to his alma mater? It's a job he's always dreamed of taking. It's home. Why would anybody begrudge Al Golden if he decided that making that move was where he wanted to go with his career? The Penn State coaching search was a distraction for the Miami fans from talk about coaching changes and, more specifically, the firing of defensive coordinator Mark D'Onofrio. But word that there would not be any staff changes revived that anger of many toward that subject today. Is Al Golden wrong for placing all of the blame for anything wrong on with his team on his own shoulders and deciding that stability on his staff is better than change? And you can debate the subject of talent all you want, but I think everyone would agree that with 30 or so new players coming onto the Miami roster through recruiting, that the base of talent on this team is about to get better. If you are Al Golden and you believe strongly in that, and your coaches have worked with a challenged hand for the past 3 years, when you factor in everything they've gone through, from the talent on the roster to recruiting under the NCAA cloud, yada, 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 putting D'Onofrio or any of those coaches out on the street just as you feel things are getting better in your program? Just a few counter thoughts to ponder as we get going tonight. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to a new edition of Cane Sport Live. I'm Gary Furman, the publisher of canesport.com, and we are once again getting ready to embark on the fastest 2 hours in Hurricane Sports. Tonight's show promises to be animated, and as always, this is your show, and it's going to be driven by your participation. We have 50 open phone lines, so there's plenty of room for everybody to call in and participate. The call-in number is 646-595-2048. That's 646-595-2048. Over the past 24 hours, as always, we have asked canesport.com subscribers to identify some of the topics that they would like to hear discussed on tonight's show. Here's what they came up with. Number one, I was personally asked to address whether I have lost any respect for Al Golden in this process with Penn State. Before we get too distracted tonight, let me say unequivocally that the answer to that question is no. Al Golden handled this entire flirtation with class. He did not comment or lie to anybody the way that most coaches do when they're under consideration for a job. He stayed in his bunker, and he took care of his business privately, and that ultimately involved surprisingly pulling out of the Penn State search at 4 o'clock Sunday after all signs had indicated and canesport.com had reported that he was likely to be named the coach of Penn State on Monday, barring the most unusual and surprising of circumstances. He chose not to talk about it today, which is exactly how he should have handled the situation. He didn't get up there and lie. He didn't say Penn State didn't pursue him. So kudos on that front to Al Golden. People want to know if Golden is going to go down with the ship by not making coaching changes. Why is the offense getting so much post-bowl blame when the perception is that most of the team's problems have been on defense? Most questions and topics center around the previously mentioned items at hand, the Penn State coaching search and the decision to come back with his full coaching staff. Before we get to calls, let me quickly address our reporting of the Al Golden pursuit by Penn State very quickly. We first got wind that Penn State might have Al Golden in their sights on December 22nd, and it was at that point that I began pursuing the story. I learned that Bill O'Brien would most certainly be going to the NFL, and that people at Penn State had identified Al Golden as somebody that they would be very seriously interested in. I let it go till the bowl game, but after the bowl game, I knew that as the Bill O'Brien situation reached the boiling point, that Al Golden and Penn State would become an issue, Cane Sport, in terms of reporting on the subject, and for the Canes fan base. And it's our responsibility at canesport.com to everybody out there that is a part of our website to aggressively report every single story without exception that has anything to do with this Miami Hurricanes football team. So that is what we did. The story began to pick up steam about midweek when we learned through a multitude of sources. And let me stress that every single story that we put out on this subject was vetted very closely and had at least four confirmations. The typical standard in this business is to have two confirms. I made sure we had four because of the sensitivity of the subject. We learned that Al Golden was in serious talks with Penn State on Thursday, heading into Friday, and that he was the primary candidate that they were focused on, and that he had been offered the opportunity to be Penn State's next football coach. Now, those talks continued into Friday and Saturday, and on Saturday, we learned that Penn State officials came to South Florida to meet with Al Golden and his family. And we also learned that at that meeting, that Golden and his representatives exited with the feeling that they had an agreement in principle, the equivalent of a handshake agreement, for Golden to get a contract on Sunday and be named Penn State's head coach at a press conference on Monday. We sat on that story all day Saturday because we only had at that point three confirmations of this, and I didn't feel totally comfortable because of the sensitivity of the subject to go with the story until we had a fourth confirmation. On Saturday night at about 10 o'clock, we got that fourth confirmation, and it happened to be from a source that was even stronger than the first three. I continued to monitor the situation going into Sunday morning, and Sunday morning we made the decision to put out the story that barring something crazy, and I compared it to the three special teams turnovers that took place in the Virginia Tech game that sort of started Miami's season spiraling downward. That's what I compared it to, something as drastic as that, that Al Golden was likely to be named Penn State's coach or would be named Penn State's coach at a press conference on Monday. What happened as the morning continued, and it's to show you how difficult it is to report on coaching stories and how the story can change so quickly, was those representatives that had made those agreements went back to Penn State, and there was division in State College. Speculating on the division, partially from talking to people and putting things together, it sounded like it centered on a couple fronts. There were people that felt like the hiring was happening too fast and that Penn State should talk to more candidates. There were people that were lined up behind different candidates. Some liked Al Golden. Some didn't want to see Al Golden hired. No different than it would have been had Miami gone on a coaching search itself. And some people would have lined up behind Butch Davis. Some people would have lined up behind Greg Schiano. That's the way it works in these situations. A third issue was that Al Golden had a connection to Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky through his playing time and partially coaching time at Penn State. And there was just an uneasiness among some of the people in the upper echelon at Penn State about going back in that direction. Probably the reason Al Golden didn't get the job 2 years ago when they hired Bill O'Brien. So these issues started to percolate at Penn State, and then something else happened. Penn State decided to talk to, as part of that process, Mike Munchak, who was fired by the Tennessee Titans on Friday. Somebody leaked that story to Chris Mortensen, who is the supreme reporter for ESPN, covers the National Football League. And Mortensen reported that Munchak was going to interview for the Penn State job. Somewhere around that time, sources have told us that Al Golden gave Penn State an ultimatum. He was going to have a contract to sign within the next few hours, or he was going to pull out of the coaching search. That happened at 4 o'clock when he pulled out. So, you know, my greatest regret in this situation is quite honestly the perception that what we were reporting to the Miami fan base and our subscribers was wrong. And, you know, I put this out yesterday on Twitter, and I'll say it again right now on the show. We stand by everything that we reported along the way in this process. Some of the people that are criticizing us and taking shots because they have a forum to do so have never asked us for any explanation of what happened. Until this evening, when I did get a phone call from a writer from the Miami Herald, who I did an interview with, and I'm assuming that there's going to be a story in tomorrow's paper about that subject. But we feel like we handled this story with the utmost of responsibility. The sources were extremely highly placed. They knew what was going on, vetted to the max, and we made sure that even though there were many more than four sources, we made sure we had four strong confirms before we put anything out. I apologize if there were any feathers ruffled along the way, but I can promise everybody one thing. There will never be a story going forward that we will not report aggressively. And, you know, when it involves something like a coaching search, which is by far the most difficult story to report of anything I've faced in my 30-plus years in journalism, you know, obviously you run the risk of being wrong. And this is, as many of you know, this is not the first time that this has happened to me personally. It happened a few years ago when Miami had its own flirtation with John Gruden, the way that Penn State had its flirtation right now with Al Golden. And you will notice there will be complete denial from Penn State as we sit here tonight, and you will never hear anybody at Penn State acknowledge that they even spoke to Al Golden and any of this happened. And that's how it works in these coaching searches, and that's why it's so difficult as a writer, because A, the story can change at any moment, and B, after the fact, everybody lies. But to Al Golden's credit, when he stood before everybody today and he went on the Joe Rose Show, he did not lie. Did not lie one bit. He did not deny speaking to Penn State. He chose not to go into detail about it, but he didn't lie to anybody. And I give nothing but Golden for that, because let me tell you something, most coaches would not have taken that approach. All right, let's get started now. Again, the call-in number, 646-595-2048. That's 646-595-2048. We're going to start the show in the 513 tonight, where you are now live on Cane Sport Live. How you doing?
Hey, Gary. How you doing? This is Tim from Cincinnati. How you doing?
What you say, Tim?
Hey, first of all, Gary, you don't have to apologize or explain yourself. You do a hell of a job reporting everything, and people just need to get over it. It's just, I don't understand why people were so sensitive on Twitter talking about Gary this. You don't have to explain yourself. You did a hell of a job.
Well, I like to explain it, you know, because it's complicated, Tim. You know,
you're good.
It's not simple. So I like to apologize because I want everybody to know exactly what went on every step of the process.
Right, and to be honest with you, this is just my personal opinion, and I know I'll probably listen to you afterwards. I just took away a couple things from all this. Number one, some of the fans in Miami kind of got me, because it was like every time someone was saying something about going to Penn State, it was almost like people were taking it so personal. And I'm like, dude, that's his alma mater. If he's choosing to go, I wouldn't, you know, feel bad about it. But, you know, if that were to happen, let's try to see who would come in and, you know, try to salvage the class. And it just seemed like the fans just got so – it was divided. Some wanted him to leave. Some wanted him to stay. And it was just like – everyone was ragging on you, and I'm like, the story makes perfect sense to me, because to me, I'm like, why would you announce at 4 that you're coming back? It just seemed like, no, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, it's a fancy to kind of thank Munchak for actually getting fired from Tennessee, because honestly, I don't think none of this happens. Just my opinion, Gary, and maybe I'll just chime in and listen to you. I just feel like none of this happens if Munchak is fired. Honestly,
well, I mean,
I think they probably were full go with Golden. I think Golden was ready to actually go, and then, like you said, they went back and, you know, kind of conversed amongst themselves and said, let's wait it out. And I guess Golden was just saying, I can't wait anymore because I got these recruits and everybody asking about me. So I don't know. I just – and number two, I'll get off the phone and let you, you know, talk or whatnot. Number two, at the conference, did it not feel kind of like he's just going to go down with the ship, like, okay, let's just go all in, and if something happens, then it's all on me, and, you know, or whatnot. But how could you not make changes to the staff when everyone can see that there needs to be changes made? And just put me on hold, Gary, and I'll just please, because I almost went to psychiatrist.
Well,
I'll
leave you live just in case you have any follow-up questions. But
Okay.
You know, in terms of the Penn State deal, the reason he didn't make any statements till 4 o'clock Sunday was because he was involved with Penn State until 4 o'clock Sunday. And you're absolutely right. And you know, really, one of the things that's confused me by some of the debate is all you have to do is use common sense here. I mean, you know, this story at worst started on Thursday, and had really picked up steam by Friday. And if there was going to be a denial that – and he was not obviously interested in going to Penn State, it would have happened on Thursday or Friday. But it wasn't going to happen because, you know, he genuinely was interested in that job and expected to get it and expected to be in State College right now as we're talking, as Penn State's head coach. So, you know, again, I give him nothing but credit. He didn't come out with a bogus statement. He didn't BS anybody. He kept his mouth shut, and most coaches wouldn't have done that. Now, in terms of going down with the ship and that mindset, and I know a lot of people feel that way, you know, obviously they have a lot of problems. We've talked about them all season long on the defensive side of the football. And if he was going to make changes, we've also spoken for many, many weeks now, and I've given you my opinion that it was not as simple as firing Mark D'Onofrio, that you couldn't blame. It was such a mess on that side of the ball that you could not blame it on one guy. So if he was going to fire anybody, he had to fire everybody. Okay, and that would have been massive upheaval for a coach that and he's very sincere in what he said today, that he really believes in stability. And, you know, he decided that because of everything they've been through and all the challenges that they've had, that it would not be fair of him to fire people in these circumstances right now, just as they in unison as a coaching staff believe that things are about to get better. They feel that the players that they have on their current roster are improving. They're bringing in an incredible amount of talent, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Some of it high-impact talent, guys like Chad Thomas, who's going to be just a freakish defensive player for Miami. And I think Al Golden wants to give those coaches that have stuck with him for the last 3 years the opportunity to move forward with an improving current football team and a football team that's going to get an injection of new talent and competition and everything else. And how do I think everybody should respond to that? Well, you know, I think obviously there's going to be a wide assortment of opinions, but you know, I think you have to respect Al Golden's right to make that decision. His neck is on the line. I mean, you know, if the ship goes down, I think you have to hesitate and say go down with the ship. I mean, he does have at least five more years on his contract. So he's obviously not getting fired anytime soon, and he does have that job security to hang his hat on. But, I mean, clearly things are going to get very uncomfortable around here if things don't go well with the defense next season, and they're going to be challenged, let's face it. So this is a huge risk that Al's taken, because it's not realistic to expect true freshmen to make massive impacts in their first year, and he's pretty much going to be riding with what he has now when September comes. So, yeah, massive risk, but he does have the job security behind him. And in terms of his long-term attitude towards Miami, I don't know that we really know that, but I guess that'll unfold as things move forward.
Well, and like I said, Gary, one more thing, and I'm just going to go ahead and you can put me on hold. With Trevante Valentine, this kid, I'm 33. I'm in no right to talk about an older, you know what I mean, a young kid who's about to make one of the decisions in his life, but you know, do you feel like he decommitted and used Golden's reasoning as an excuse? Because most kids who decommit when there's a coaching change, they kind of wait to see if, you know, who the next coach is going to be before they make a decision like that. So I kind of felt just, you know, if you're going to decommit, we all knew you were wavering, so why would you just use that? I just kind of felt like that was a cop-out, Gary. And I'll just put me on hold and just let me know what you think about that. And,
right,
you know, you did a hell of a job, by the way. Go ahead.
Thank you, Tim. I'll put you on hold. Best way I can answer that question is I don't believe anything coming out of that Trevante Valentine situation. I'm not totally convinced that in reality, even though he announced his commitment to Miami, that he really intended to go to Miami. I think that he's been an LSU guy, you know, pretty much for about a year now, and I've always been suspect of that commitment. So I think that by tying it into the coaching situation that's at hand right now, kind of an easy way out. But I think that this was a preconceived move by Trevante, and I personally am not sure he ever really intended to go to the University of Miami. But he's a good player, and he does weaken the recruiting class. I mean, you know, just having him come out and let me just, you know, double check right now as I'm talking. But by taking him off the commit list, Miami dropped from number 5 to number 8 in the recruiting rankings. So that's how significant of a commit that he was based on his ranking. And it's a loss. And now Miami likely will go out and look for another defensive lineman that they can put in there in his place as they can, you know, wait. I mean, obviously he has the option of changing his mind, but I would not expect a reversal there. I would expect Miami to go out and maybe try to find another defensive lineman here in January. There is plenty of time. All right, 646-595-2048, 646-595-2048. Let's go out now to the 229, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Who's this?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Jose?
Who's this?
this is Jose.
What's up, Jose? What you got for us?
Oh, man, I just want to know what's up with Al Golden. I mean, is he, like, really with us, or is he, like, going to Penn State?
Well, my guess is he is so angry right now. I mean, let's be honest. Penn State totally screwed Al Golden, okay? They really did. Number one, they led him along a path where he thought he had the job. And like I told you, I had it from many, many sources, some connected to Al, some not connected to Al, that he had the job. It had circulated through coaching searches, coaching constituents around the country, agents, the agent network. It was all over the place, everywhere it could possibly be, that Al Golden was going to be the next Penn State coach. And they led him down that path. And he sat there and he kept Miami on, hanging and for many several days and would not put out a statement withdrawing from the job and, you know, because he thought he was getting the job. And then at the end, for them to stall it on Sunday and start interviewing other people, and I think he flipped out at that point, and I don't blame him. And he was under an incredible amount of pressure. Obviously, from the Miami side, they're pressuring him to withdraw and announce he's staying. Boosters are up in arms. You know, people are calling the athletic department and Blake James, and a lot of stuff was going on that was very negative for the University of Miami. And he was under a lot of pressure to get the heck out of that search. And, shame on Penn State for what they did to him, to be honest with you. And, you talk to people up there and the first thing they tell you is what a mess the administration is, what a mess the Board of Trustees is. And from that standpoint, it's not a surprise that they totally botched this coaching search. And from what my people up at State College have been telling me since last night, there was no other candidate. This morning, they were starting from square one, and they hope to have a coach in place by today. So it's a mess up there, and I think they totally screwed Al Golden. Shame on them. And, that's the deal.
So my question is, from my belief, I think we should give Golden an A+, because, I mean, yeah, I know. We know he interviewed for the job, right? And at the end, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna stick with Miami. I mean, he was 9-4. This past 3 years, we were like 6-7, 6-5. I mean, I think that's a big increase. I mean, regardless of we lost to Louisville. I mean, it was bad, but still, I mean, he stuck with Miami, so we should give him credit. I mean, all these recruits are like, they want to know what's going on with Al Golden. Is he going to stay or not? Right?
Yep. Well, and, we've spoken to all of them, and in unison, they have told us that they are solidly behind. I mean, Valentine's the only one right now that looks like he's in question.
Which Valentine's, for the longest, he said that he was leaning toward LSU, which I'm not worried about Valentine. I mean, we have, 30 recruits right now? I mean, my God. I mean, we had Chad Thomas. We have McDermott. We have so many good recruits that can come in and help us improve, I mean, for next year. I mean, my God.
There are some very, very good players in this recruiting class.
So right now, like I said, I'm not worried about Valentine. I'm worried about him staying and bringing this recruiting, hopefully get more recruits in for this coming 2014 recruiting class, I mean, which I think is going to help us improve for the next few years. I don't know. I mean, I might be wrong. You help me out.
Well, I mean, I'm not poo-pooing this Valentine defection, even though, even considering what I just said about him a minute ago, as being a non-issue. I mean, defensive tackle, huge position of need, and we're also reporting tonight on canesport.com that Michael Weish, the defensive tackle from East Los Angeles College, his future at Miami is kind of in limbo right now. The ACC has a rule that a student athlete cannot attend the same it requires, I'm sorry, let me rephrase this. It requires entering student athletes to attend the same junior college for three semesters before they can transfer to a school. So that would be the equivalent of a year and a half, and unless you factor in summer courses. And because of a family situation, Weiss has only attended East Los Angeles College for two semesters. So right now they're appealing to the ACC to try to get a waiver on that, and they're or a positive end to an appeal because he had some family circumstances that necessitated him leaving Mount San Antonio College and College of the Canyons and going to East Los Angeles. So I think there's a decent chance that the ACC will allow Miami to bring in Michael Weiss immediately, but not definite there. And if that were to go south, combined with Valentine's exit, that would be very problematic for this recruiting class. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, I hope that we get to get because we need defensive ends, defensive tackles, whatever you want to call it. But if it's not going to happen, I heard that in 3 or 4 months, he might have to go back to junior college and attend 3 or 4 more months, and then he can go back to Miami. Is that right or wrong?
That's accurate. But, you know, you run the risk of, is he willing to do that? You know, I mean, he has told us that he wants to come to school now at Miami. So Miami would have to talk him at that point into going back to junior college for another semester and taking classes.
Wow.
And, you know, he might be willing to do it. You know, this is a kid that does want to be a Miami Hurricane, but there's no guarantees there. So obviously I'm sure the Miami coaches are hoping that the ACC grants this waiver of that rule and allows Weiss to come to school next week.
Well, let's just hope he's really willing to come to Miami. But anyhow, let me change the conversation. What about Urban Lane? I mean, do we have a chance with him?
I'm expecting him to go to Florida State. You know, he's made it no secret. He planned to play with Dalvin Cook, and he's talked about waiting and waiting and waiting, but I wouldn't be surprised if Urban Lane committed to Florida State sooner rather than later.
Wow. That is, like, messed up. But
well,
anyhow,
you know, you can't get everybody, but I will say this. Not getting some of these real high-impact local kids is holding the Miami program back right now. And, you know, the onus is on the South Florida community to once again embrace its program to the point where these kids go to the University of Miami, because Miami cannot become a dominant program again without getting these elite South Florida kids.
What about his teammate? Wasn't it Tyreed?
Yeah, he's solid. He's fine. Tyree Brady is fine.
I believe he's pretty good. I mean, don't we need, like, big receivers?
Yeah, and he is a big receiver. So that's why they took
him. I mean, he might be a little slow, but I believe at the end, once he learns his position and everything, I think he's going to be pretty good. I mean, like Dorsett. I think Dorsett is pretty good. I mean, yeah, he's probably injured. But Tyreed, I think Tyreed's going to be pretty good, I mean, at the end. I mean, we just have to give him a chance. And I know we want all these big four-star, five-star recruits, but at the end, if we don't get him, I mean, I think we just have to settle. I mean, we have to be happy with what we have right now. I mean, look at that Duke. They have these two stars, no stars recruits, and look at them. They went and beat the crap out of Baylor.
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong?
I think you're right. You know, I think you're right.
I mean, so we have to be, I mean, at the end, I mean, the hell with the 2, 3, 4, 5-star recruits. I mean, let's get what we can get, and let's help them improve their game.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously that's what the coaches are doing. They clearly feel strongly about Brady, and I think the feeling is that his speed is going to continue to improve, and he's a good prospect to work with. All right, I'm going to let some other people get in now. Thank you so much for calling, and hopefully you'll give us a call again down the road when we have future shows. Thank you.
When's our next show?
All right, let's go now to the 917, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Gary, what's up?
What's up? Who's this?
This is BK Hurricane.
Hey, what's up, BK? How you doing this week?
I'm doing all right. Gary, you did a good job, like, you know, reporting. Like, I actually believe everything you were reporting, because it sounded like, you know, like everything you were posting was credible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any reason to lie.
I
give it to you guys straight, you know. And if we didn't have the confirmations and the best of sources, we wouldn't have put a story on our front page. You know, you're on our website. You see what we do all the time. If I tell you guys all the time, this is not solid enough to put on the front page, you know, sometimes we'll put things on the message board, you know, and say this is not confirmed or whatever. But, you know, I mean, we have no reason to lie about this stuff.
I think you did a great job altogether. Let me ask you a quick question, though. This is more of an opinion of what you might think. You know, when the whole thing came down to the 12th hour, you know, for Golden and the whole Penn State thing, do you think that Blake James or anybody in the Miami administration said, listen, you have to make a decision now. We got to know, because we got to try to preserve this recruiting class and get somebody in here immediately. Do you think that might have had any...
Yeah, I'm sure it did. You know, they'll never discuss it. You'll never hear Blake James say it. But, you know, I'm sure by Sunday that it had reached the point where, like, you know, Al enough... You know, let me put it this way. He's scheduled to go on the Joe Rose Show at 6:30 this morning. And he had a 12:30 press conference that was scheduled. But Al Golden, I'm sure, was not worried about either of those things because, like I reported, he expected to be going to State College on Sunday and calling Miami up and saying, I'm becoming Penn State's new coach. So those media things that were scheduled for today going into Sunday morning were not a factor, because they were going to end up being canceled anyway.
Right.
But I'm sure when all these things started happening at Penn State on Sunday morning, in combination with continued pushing, and Blake James said he was in contact daily with Al Golden from Blake James, is what turned the pressure up on Al Golden and inspired him to give Penn State essentially
an ultimatum.
And when they didn't meet that ultimatum and give him a contract on Sunday that he could sign, he pulled out.
Right. So do you think this in any way have left a bad taste in the administration's mouth? Like, this was the guy that said, listen, I'm not going anywhere. You know, and everybody knew the Penn State thing at some point was going to come, you know, was going to come his way when Joe Pa got booted out of Penn State. But he was adamant, listen, I'm not going anywhere. This is what it is. I'm staying. I'm a Miami guy now all of a sudden. So do you think this left a bad taste in their mouth? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if bad taste would be the proper word. I think that there's a feeling of uneasiness. And for everybody listening, you know, if you don't want to see your athletic department administrators feeling uneasy, I would say, you know, back down a little bit. Stop sending emails and making phone calls and things like that, and make them feel like you're not behind what they're doing and you're not behind their head coach and things like that. I mean, you know, it's really an overreaction. It really is. I mean, Al Golden had every right to listen to Penn State and consider going and becoming their football coach. And, you know, he's not recklessly out chasing jobs. I mean, this was his alma mater. It was home. It's a special place for him. He played there. He met his wife there. I mean, you could just go on and on about all the reasons why being the head coach of Penn State would have a special meaning for Al Golden. And you know what? He's a human being. He's a grown man. All of us that have careers and jobs are always looking to move forward ourselves and we all want to be happy and do things that you know, fulfill us in our careers. And, you know, I think people need to really get over that aspect of it and sort of, you know, chill out a little bit, you know, and I hope they do because, you know, football season doesn't start for 8-9 months. Obviously, there's a lot of time to heal wounds here. But I think just at the end of the day, you have to be grown up about it and respect the man's right to live an adult life. And, you know, if he felt that Penn State was a place of equal or greater standing for him personally than the University of Miami, I don't think you can begrudge him for that.
Yeah, well, after what transpired today, you know, when he came out on WQAM, and, you know, I think everybody would have cut him some slack if, and this is a big if he would have made some changes. But for him to come out now and say, listen, I'm not making any changes, I mean, it just poured gasoline on the fire at this point. You know, and now people are just like, oh, my God, now he's not making any changes. He was going to leave. Now he's staying, and he's not making any changes. What's going on?
I understand.
everybody would have cut him some slack, but.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I mean, but let me say this. As sports fans, and we're all guilty of this, you know, we always feel the solution is to fire somebody, and it often is. I mean, you know, today the Dolphins fired their offensive coordinator. You know, coaches are getting fired all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy profession. I mean, how many professions are there? Let's think about this for a minute. How many professions are there where you could lose – 4 of your last 6 games, get blown out by Louisville in the Russell Athletic Bowl, and days later have another school in pursuit of you offering you a $1 million raise? Are you kidding me? I mean, how many professions are there where that can happen? And I'll give you something else. How many professions are there where you can, you know, be relatively successful, win 9 games the way Al Golden did, and have a fan base that's up in arms and, you know, in a lot of places, if you didn't have the job security that Al Golden has right now, the fan base would be talking about firing you. And, you know, plenty of coaches get fired after winning 9 games. Larry Coker was one of them. I mean, you know, he had a great record here at Miami. He got run out of town. So, you know, it's a crazy profession.
That's an interesting point when you brought up Larry Coker, because to me it seems like, you know, the administration and even some of the fans have put everything on Al Golden. Like, okay, Al Golden is our savior. Al Golden's going to bail us out of this thing. But the more and more, you know, I'm sitting back and I'm looking at this thing. I know he has a long-term contract, but are we really that far behind where we're willing to give Al Golden like 6 or 7 years to turn this thing around?
Well, I mean, contractually,
that's what it's going to take. We're not going to turn around overnight. It's another 3 years, Gary, before we even think about beating Florida State on a regular basis.
Well, I mean, that's the gamble that Donna Shalala took, you know, and the University of Miami was in a hurting situation when the NCAA stuff broke, and they didn't know where it was going to go. And they felt that to lose their head coach at that point would have been absolutely devastating. And if they were going to get Al Golden to stick it out through that period – and give them the assurance that he would be at Miami, then, you know, they basically were told and followed through on it that they had to give him that type of contract. Now, the thing that I'm sure is just totally, totally upsetting some people in the Miami power structure today is, you know, a feeling that Al Golden is not living up to that end of the bargain. And, you know, I'm sure that when they did that, and when, as an extension, when they hired Al, that they were not anticipating as early as, you know, year 3 that he would be considering going to Penn State. Now, on the flip side for Al, so much has changed since he made those commitments. And, you know, it's not the same set of circumstances that he took this job with, and it has not played out the way that I'm sure he felt it would when he took the job. You know, and you could go on and on and on. You know about all the problems on the field, off the field, the roster turnover that he's had to go through, the recruiting issues, the lack of support from the community to the point where one of the inner city leaders from Miami, Luther Campbell, to this day is still writing columns. Well, he's still writing columns in Miami New Times, you know, basically lacking support of Al and bringing up, you know, racial inferences and things like that. Al Golden didn't sign up for any of that, okay? So, I mean, it's changed since he made those commitments, but at the same time, if you're on the other end of the commitments, you're feeling like, hey, what the heck's going on here? So it's a messy situation, and it's one that they're going to have to deal with moving forward, and we'll see where it goes. I can't predict, you know, what the feelings are going to be and how this is going to continue. But it's a complicated deal.
It is. It is. And go figure, the best news we got all, you know, throughout this whole thing, the best news we got is you could probably add one more win to our win total next year because Charlie Strong went to Texas. That's the best news we had all weekend. Charlie Strong is going to Texas.
Let's wait and see who they replace him with. They are armed with a war chest
of
cash at that school. And, you know, trust me, they are not going to compromise in who they go after. And it'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
I'm interested to see also. All right, Gary, listen, you're doing
a
great job. I'll call in next time.
All right, man, thank you so much. Always good talking to you.
All right,
646-595-2048. 646-595-2048. We're going to go now to the 515, where you are now live on Kingsport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing, Gary?
Doing good. Who's this?
This is Skibby.
What's up, Skibby?
Oh, not a whole lot. First, just wanted to say great job with the reporting. You know what?
Did the best
we could,
man.
I don't care whether your sources were right or wrong. I mean, that's what we pay you for.
They were right until 4 o'clock Sunday. No, let me tell you seriously. I can't tell anybody who the sources are. I would never compromise anybody like that. They were supremely highly placed sources that were involved in the process. Okay, we were not misled. We were not lied to. You know, maybe if I wanted to hedge a little bit, I would say that some people might have had different interpretations of what was there, possibly. But we went four deep on our confirms, and you know, it just is what it is. Things change in coaching situations; they're very difficult to report. And you notice nobody else reported it.
Yeah,
and it wasn't because they were doing everybody a favor. They wanted to report it. Nobody could get it. And you know, that's not me knocking other writers and reporters. That's me making a statement on how difficult it is. And, you know, I'm, you know, for better or for worse sometimes, I'm in a position where I've been doing this 30 years. And on this particular story, I was working with another reporter who's been doing this longer than me at Penn State, whose sources there are as deep and good as my sources at Miami are. And, you know, I mean, we thought we had that story on total lockdown. We would not do anything differently again. And, you know, as you may or may not know, this is the second time in a similar circumstance this has happened to me. And I will tell you that when the next one comes, and we know it will, I will report that equally aggressively, and I will not back down from giving you guys who are on our website every day living and dying with every single thing that goes on with this football program, giving you the cutting-edge information and to the best that we possibly can. And that's my commitment to you guys.
Yeah, appreciate that. And that's why I continue to pay $9.95 a month. And we'll continue.
Well,
I hope
you feel that that's a bargain. I really do. We try to give you guys as much value as can possibly be done.
Yeah, it's a bargain. I posted this to somebody earlier today before the show. I love this program only slightly less than my wife, and she's sitting 10 feet from me right now. So,
is she snarling at you?
Yeah, she hates Miami. She's,
I'm sure,
she's an Iowa,
as all wives.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
My wife hates Miami too. She can't stand it. You know, I'm working 24/7, 365. Like, we can't even go out to dinner, and I'm getting phone calls and texts. And half the damn time, the way this coaching staff recruits, you know, with their commitments at 9 and 10 o'clock on Saturday night, it's like you can't even take your wife out to dinner. You know, it's like we're sitting there doing commitments. We're doing commitment stories while we're sitting, you know, at, you know, Longhorn Steakhouse or something. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's, you know. But yes, so I don't think any wives love this so much.
I said it before. I'd trade you jobs in a second.
I know that.
You know, I believe your story 100%. You know, to be honest, I'm over it. I'm at a point with Golden. I'm in prove it mode. Guy just needs to prove it. He's proved that he's great at putting together good recruiting classes or high ranked recruiting classes. He hasn't proven that he's good at selecting the right talent, developing that talent, and coaching on game day. He needs to prove those things. That's where I'm at with him, and hopefully we see improvement, you know, next year. You know, one thing.
Well, look, I mean, one thing, Skibby, let me just pause you there for a minute, and then you can continue. I mean,
okay.
I think one thing you have to look at is clearly there are issues and questions, but, you know, he has gone from 6 to 7 to 9 wins, and if you look back at the history of rebuilds at this program, it really lines up pretty well. Now, granted, I thought, you know, we all know the schedule was very kind this year, and it's going to get tougher next year. But he has made progress.
I'll give him that. He's made progress in the win totals. You know, I do discount it a bit because of the schedule. There were some stats that were posted today that were pretty, you know, on a defensive side that were pretty, you know, pretty
mopped
atrocious.
Look, he's trying to rally support. You know, he's trying to rally
support for that.
For his coaching staff. You know, he knows that everybody out there in the community is calling for Mark D'Onofrio to be fired. You know, so much talk about the whole best friend issue and all that. I think more than anything, you know, obviously they're close and their families are close, but, you know, they're also business partners. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, he's trying to keep the base of support behind what they're doing. So, you know, yeah, they were propped up a little bit and, you know, obviously by some, you know, not so great competition, but you got to understand what he's trying to do.
Yeah, no, I can respect that. And I mean, to be honest, you know, I do think he's a smart enough guy that worst came to worst, you know, he'd let the guy go if he needed to. You know, I don't agree with his decision not to now, but you know, like you said before, I respect the fact that you know it's his decision to make. He has that right. So you know, I'm over it. I want Mark D'Onofrio to be successful at the University of Miami. I mean, I think some people are wishing bad things on this guy.
I don't get that. Like,
way,
I've never understood that. It's almost like I feel the same way myself. Like, I feel like people are, like, sitting there through this whole coaching thing, like, you know, like, just waiting for me to be wrong about something so that they can, like, you know, go on the attack. It's like, I don't understand why people are like that, you know? It's like, you know, why would you be like that? You know, and in the case of Mark D'Onofrio, why would you not want him to be successful? You know, I've said it many times, Skippy, when he was hired, I had never heard of him. And I went out, I asked a lot of football people, and everyone, you know, many of them told me that he's a very good football coach. So, you know, we'll see, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I was, you know, I understand why everybody feels the way they do, that changes were necessary. It's the nature of the sports fan on top of the fact that there's a million problems. But, you know, now your choice, now your only choice is to give them a chance.
Yeah. I hope, you know, with all my heart that he's successful, that Golden's successful. I want nothing more than that. Last thing I want is for them to not be successful and us to have to go through another coaching change. Done. You know, I want to get into some recruiting stuff real quick, but one last thing I want to say, you know, just around, you know, Golden and his contract and the things like that. The one thing that does disappoint me, and I understand that Donna's, you know, was in a bit of a, you know, a quandary with this NCAA issue, but, you know, one thing that I've learned, and you see it time and time again, especially in sports, and it happens more with superstar athletes than it does with coaches, but it does happen with coaches, is that people are too quick to give someone ultimate job security. I think the last thing that you want to do is give someone ultimate job security. As soon as you do that, you have no power, and I think it demotivates people. I think the best motivation in the world for someone that's working is the fear of being fired. And
you're probably right.
You know, I think that Miami, you know, was it a mistake? It's tough to say because of the NCAA issues. But
too
Miami
soon to judge
gave him,
that.
Yeah, exactly. But Miami gave him ultimate job security, and that's just, you just don't do that. And you never enter a contract that you aren't able to afford to buy your way out of, or you aren't willing to buy your way out of at some point in time. That's the last thing I want to say about Golden. But into recruiting. Go ahead if you want to.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, obviously they were going to give him 5 or 6 years anyway under any circumstance. So, you know, I think it was a gamble in the sense that worst case scenario, things don't go well. You're going to have to buy out whatever the number is for the last couple years, and it might cost you a few million dollars. But that was a small price for the University of Miami to pay if it ever came to that, for what the ramifications would have been of losing their head coach in the middle of that whole NCAA mess. Like, who in the world would they have been able to hire? You know?
True.
Yep.
So, and, you know, hopefully it's a gamble that ultimately pays off. You know, hoping it does. Under the recruiting topics, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, constantly sweating about, you know, are we going to get Ermon Lane? What, are we going to get Cook? You know, what's happening with all these, you know, star skill position players? And, you know, I think you're right. It's a huge problem for Miami that the homegrown stars are leaving. But at the same time, I just don't think that we should be sweating these superstar skill position players. I mean, when has it ever been a problem for this university that we're losing because we don't have, you know, super elite wide receivers or running backs? I just don't think that running back and wide receiver has ever been a problem for this university. I think we need QBs, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and linebackers. I mean, that's that's what we should be sweating, losing the superstar QBs, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and linebackers. I'm just not going to get worked up about losing a wide receiver. We're always going to have good enough wide receivers.
Skibby, you're the man because you're making some – I think you're making awesome points. You know, you really are. And, you know, they're addressing that in this, those positions big time in this recruiting class. I mean, you see four offensive linemen in there. You know, you see the defensive line getting addressed. I think there's eight defensive line commits. I think there's four linebacker commits. So, yeah, they're addressing all those positions. And you're right.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, that's, we are in, you know, the hottest of hotbeds for running backs and wide receivers in the country. You know, I mean, if we don't get, if we don't get the five-star, we're still going to get somebody. You know, even if they're a three-star, we're still going to get somebody that's better than 90% of the other wide receivers, probably 95% of the other wide receivers in the country. It's just not going to be a problem. We need to win the trenches. That's what Miami needs to do, you know, to get back to relevance. So all that said, are we, you know, who are the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and linebackers that, you know, we're still recruiting that we could still add to this class?
Well, there aren't many because there's not many spots left. I think there's only maybe two more spots left in this class. So I think what you have right now is a situation where they're going to go out and take the best players that they can find out there. And it might be somebody that's not even on the radar right now. I'm sure that they're going to be looking at guys that are maybe committed to other schools that might decide that there's a better situation at Miami based on other players that are being taken by that school. And I think it's a wide open field right now for those last, you know, couple spots.
Do you think we, you know, have any shot with Kenny Young? Or I know Melvin Kine is committed to Virginia Tech now, but I know we're still recruiting him. I don't know if he's still going to visit, but do we have any shot with either of those two,
in your
opinion?
Melvin Kine, I don't think so. When I spoke to Malachi Dupree last week at the Under Armour practices, he told me that he and Kenny Young were considering visiting Miami on January 17th. I have not gotten a decision on whether they're going to do that yet. You're reminding me that's a phone call we need to make here right away. But there's a chance they're going to visit on the 17th. And if he and Malachi Dupree come together, there's always a chance. But I think it's a long shot.
Okay. Well, let's hope we hit it. But and then last thing I'm going to say, and then I'll let you get to other callers, is, you know, I think one caller said, not worried about Trevante Valentine. And I'm glad that you kind of chimed in. I am definitely very disappointed in losing Trevante Valentine.
Yeah, you don't poo-poo that one. Yeah, I
that
agree.
That kid is going to be a monster.
I think he's got some head issues.
Yeah, he's got some, you know, he's got some things mentally that he needs to work out. If he gets those worked out, he's going to be a monster. So if we can get this kid back in our class and we can get him qualified, then we absolutely should be going balls to the wall to do that.
I mean, Monster, we'll see, but he's obviously going to be real good. All right, Skippy, hey, thank you so much for giving us a call tonight, and you know, hopefully we'll talk to you next time.
Put me back
you want to be on hold?
Please. I'm going to listen. Yep.
You got it. You're
thanks.
On hold. All right, 646-595-2048, 646-595-2048. Thought Skippy brought some good comments tonight. Let's see what we can find now in the 954, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live, if I can get this thing to work. There we go. You're on the air. How are you tonight? Hello? You with us? All right, you're going to have to call back. Let's go now to the 513, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing? Oh, no, you were already on. I'm going to put you back on hold. Let's go to the 678, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight? You with us? Going once, going twice, three times. All right, let's go now to the 305, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
What's up? This is me.
You're on, man. It's you.
Hey,
it's
what's
all
up,
about,
man? Johnny O.
It's all about the you and you.
Hey, Johnny O from Burr Road here, man. Listen, you know, I'm glad that Golden didn't go, man, because even though the process has been slow, you know, we are winning more games every year. And, you know, and I believe that we can still win more games, you know, as all these, you know, great recruits are coming in. So we just got to keep the faith and be happy that he's staying, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Another coaching change would have been horrible. Again, going through the same thing? Oh, my God. That was the last thing that we needed.
Well, it would have been an uneasy time, no question about it.
You know, and how awesome it is for you know, Charlie Strong to go ahead and get the hell out of Louisville, you know, taking all our boys over there. You know what I'm saying? Texas is full of football recruits. You know, it's a hotbed. You know, I'm sure that you know, him leaving to Texas, you know, the option for UM is going to be more appealing now.
Yeah, I was a little concerned by what I saw in the Russell Athletic Bowl too. I thought that Charlie Strong coaching staff was pure money that night. I thought their offensive coordinator called a brilliant game. Obviously very well prepared and aggressive on defense, and they were looking like they were going to be a pain in Miami's butt in the ACC for a while. So
only that, you know, on to the next subject, they didn't have to worry about Morris running. You know, that's the problem of not having a dual threat quarterback. We're one-dimensional. It's killing me.
Well, Miami's won a lot of games with pro-style quarterbacks that don't scramble. So I don't think that's necessarily, you know, something that was a problem. I think more so Miami was very weakened at the receiver position, had three of its best weapons out, no Duke Johnson, and then on top of it, the offensive line was atrocious. They were atrocious. So you put all that together, and that football team had no chance.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, just because of the past, you know, we're going to get stuck with the thinking that, you know, having a dual threat quarterback is not going to be, you know, better for us. You know, obviously, you know, when they play UM, they never have to worry about the quarterback running because the quarterbacks never run.
Yeah.
So they can just
Stephen Morris ran
attack.
Less and less as he got older. He ran less and less as he got older.
Yeah, hopefully this guy, Rozier, you know, he looks like he can be a stud, and maybe he can be active and run, you know what I'm saying? Like, he looks like an athlete, I don't know.
All right, well, you got anything else tonight?
One more thing. You know, all these five stars, all the top players, every year after year after year, you know, they're not coming here. You know, it's just unbelievable, you know, how far we have dropped. Imagine if Miami was conquering, you know, do you think many of those guys would want to come here? I mean, especially now that the Heat are winning year after year after year, it's still not appealing enough for them to come.
Well, you know, I mean, they are getting a lot of players. It's still a top 10 recruiting class, even with the Valentine defection. But there's no question that there's an enormous amount of impact talent getting away. And I'm not so sure that that didn't play into Al Golden's interest in Penn State, to be honest with you, because, you're beating your head up against the wall. You're not getting the support of the kids locally. They are impact players. Some of them are going to Florida State, which is a team that you can't win anything if you're Miami and Al Golden without beating Florida State. You're already 0-3 right. against them. You know, they got the Heisman Trophy winner and a probable national championship team coming back next year. And, you know, there's just no end in sight right now. And, you know, I'm not convinced that that didn't factor into his thoughts of, you know, the appeal of Penn State.
You know, last thing, you know, where is the creativeness and play calling? There's no Statue of Liberty, no flea flickers, no trick plays, no fake
They had
butts,
a couple trick
you know,
plays
there,
in the
There's nothing hardly throughout the year.
Well, they had a few in for the bowl game, and they didn't get executed properly. They had a halfback pass. Dallas Crawford didn't throw the ball. And then they had a receiver pass, and Stephen Morris threw the ball 10 yards behind the receiver, and they ended up losing 16 yards on the play. So, I mean, they tried to put some creativity in, but you can't win alone on those plays. You got to be able to run your fundamental offense. You got to be able to run the football. You got to be able to protect your quarterback. The offensive line had zero clue in that bowl game, and the whole thing fell apart on Miami.
Yeah, but, you know, trying to doing a play or two on the bowl game, you know, what about the rest of the year?
Yeah, well,
you know, we don't have a dual-threat quarterback, plus we're not going to do trick plays. I mean, how one-dimensional and simple can we be?
I don't know. There were times this year where the offense was pretty darn good, and then there were times it struggled. Obviously, has to be better next year. They got to do a better job on third down. If I'm James Coley, I'm spending every minute of the offseason figuring out what went wrong on third down. I'm looking at NFL tapes, looking to see what they do on third down, and they got to solve that problem. All right, let me let you go. We got a lot of callers tonight. Thank you so much for calling the show.
All right, no problem, Gary.
646-595-2048, 646-595-2048. We've reached the 8 o'clock hour. For those of you that are just joining us, because this is our regularly scheduled time, I apologize. We did our best to circulate the word that we were starting tonight's show at 7 to accommodate the national title game. Obviously, we're going to go for at least another hour. If you missed the beginning of the show, we'll have the podcast up tonight. You'll be able to listen back to it and catch up on everything we've talked about. There has been quite a bit. All right, let's continue on now to the 973, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Gary, what's going on?
Doing good. Who's this?
It's Ross, Jersey. I was talking about the offensive line, complaining about the recruiting and everything. But I wasn't going to call that first, Gary, but then I started hearing someone wanted to call us. Let me say this. I like Elk. I like both. I like him a lot. But I heard you were saying to one of the callers, you was asking a question saying, where else in America would you be able to find a job after looking a certain way, winning this kind of game and the offense?
No, I said losing four of your last six games and getting blown out in the bowl game.
Okay, well, yeah, you're right. Well, let's think about this for a second. Let me ask the question a little bit. Don't look past the fact that Penn State, Golden is a graduate and he met his wife and all that. But don't look past the fact that Penn State was looking at the fact that the job he did when he was at Miami with the sanction and things that was going on, how he really handled that well. So don't think they was looking past the fact they wanted to bring somebody in there to be able to do a good job with that. I can't believe that they believe that he was doing a great job on the football field. You know, they wanted to bring in a guy that'd be able to pick it up a little bit after they just been put on their face by this guy leaving and going to the NFL. But let me also say this. Let's bring up the word loyalty. And I'm not going to accuse Golden of anything, so I just want to make sure I say my words correctly here, Gary. Loyalty. There's something about Penn State and their people about loyalty. Yeah, this guy's a business partner of him, but he's being loyal to this guy. Think about what happened months ago when they got in trouble, or a year or so ago, when they got in trouble because everybody on that campus would be loyal to the guy because they didn't want to tell the truth what was going on with those kids. There's something about that in that whole Penn State family about loyalty. Is that a trait?
I mean, I don't think you should criticize loyalty as a trait no matter where it comes from. How about Mike Munchak allowing himself to be fired from the Tennessee Titans because they wanted him to replace all his coaches? You know, that's loyalty. That's a multi-million dollar job. He walked
away.
Yeah,
but look what they did. He went right after him. They're coming right after him now. Right? They're coming, but they like that type of stuff over there. They like that, the loyalty. And what he's doing right now, Gary, think about it. Our offense, and you don't always care about the offensive line. Our offense went 0-for-11 on third down. That's embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Yep, no, I mean, no argument from me. I mean, but...
Think about this. Now, also, let me ask you this. What linebacker, because Grace didn't, from my recognition, Grace did not, he did not redshirt. What linebacker, what middle linebacker did we redshirt this year?
I don't think you've redshirted any middle linebacker.
Exactly. We are not developing the kids that they're bringing in. They're not doing it. They're just not doing a good job. Okay? They're not doing a good job. Of developing teams. We're not recruiting properly. Like I said, I like Golden. I think he's a good guy, but he's being loyal to an offensive line coach who I think needs to retire. He's being loyal to a defensive coordinator that I think needs to get out of town. Okay? Because let's think about this for a second. What are we doing on our defense? We look horrible. You just said to me, you just said to all of us that he wanted to get out of town. He wanted to take a Penn State job. Well, they curated this nonsense by putting Ty Smith and all these non-football players on the field. That's their job. They're the one that's doing it, Gary. Let's think about it for a second. Let's not give them a pass. I'm not in agreement to what so-called Arthur Luke is doing in the community. I don't like that. I mean, I'm against that. But at the end of the day, Louisville made us look bad. And the reason why they made us look bad is because we was unprepared. Our guys had no emotion. They played with no fire. They didn't know what was going on. Offensive, defensive, or special team.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It was as ugly as can be.
The combines. We only have 5 guys that's gone. None of these guys are on defense.
Not one player on defense, correct.
I'm not counting the punter as a defensive guy, even though we like to count them as defensive guys. But
yep.
We have not one player on defense.
Let me stop you for a minute. While we're on this thought, I think that's a big part of the reason why Al Golden talked himself into bringing the coaches back, because he's sitting there looking, saying, "How can I evaluate these guys negatively? We didn't have one player on defense this year that even is being invited to the combine." Obviously everybody's frustrated at the way that they're giving up yardage and playing, but I mean the bottom line is there's not one player that was worth getting invited to the combine.
But Gary, will you invite Smith? Ike Smith? If you was the guy that was responsible for the invite,
no,
would you invite him?
I wouldn't invite any of them, but that's the point.
But if you're saying that, but they're the one that's putting them on the field. They made the decision this year to be loyal. Here's that word again, loyalty.
They have not had the opportunity to evaluate these seniors. But they've really only had 2 years to develop. I mean, throw out that first recruiting class. Okay, it was put together in 3 weeks. They've really only had 2 years to develop players that they've recruited. And a lot of these teams that they're losing to are playing with fourth and fifth-year seniors. So, I'm not making excuses by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying I can see why Al Golden was able to talk himself into what he did today.
Okay, but also let me just bring up this point, too. And I'm telling you, Gary, I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up about today. And I know this guy might be a colleague of yours, but he's a rival guy, so you really probably don't want to say anything about another rival.com guy. But the guy from LXU, you guys put that up on your website and played it, and I watched it, and everybody else watched it. You can't tell me, Darren, that he was not coaching Javon Valentine into almost every word that the kid was saying. I got word. I know this for a fact, that he followed that kid around all week that day and kept pumping him on as he nonsense about Golden is about to leave, I'm about to leave. And he did an interview with the kid basically.
Who are you talking about?
What to say. The guy from the LSU.com rival, whatever. You guys had the interview on your site.
Yeah, I can't remember who did it.
Well, you need to go back to somebody. If it was either you or somebody that works for you, put that interview up. And it was the guy, I want to say his name is Torres or something Torres. He did an interview with Valentine. And he basically coached him. And think about it. Go back. You'll see. You can make a comment about it later on.
Well, you know what? If that's true, and I didn't see the video, but if that's true, he's not going to be able to coach him on signing day when he's got to put pen to paper. So Trevante Valentine will make his own decision. I would not count on him being in this class.
Yeah, and you know, also, too, let's keep this.
Final thought, because I got to let other people get on.
I want everybody to think about this. Yeah, we're not getting some of those kids in South Florida, but also, a lot of these kids are not qualified. So, at Miami, we start to set a certain standard that on. We have to get certain qualified to get into the program. And a lot of these guys, let's put some onus on the college, on the high school coaches and these mentors, or whatever you want to call them, and have their, you know, their players go to college and get an education. And if you want to play for you, hey, maybe you'll be able to play for you if you're doing what you're supposed to do. Now, that's not every kid, but I'm just saying.
You know? All right, good.
But,
good
real
thought,
big on the loyalty. I'm real big on the loyalty. Number 30.
Yeah, you can't knock loyalty.
Number 31, they was loyal to those guys, putting them on the field. They wasn't supposed to be on the field. They were not good football players.
Oh, you're brutal.
I'm very, because I'm a diehard.
You're brutal.
And I'm a diehard.
I know, man. But, all right, let's make that the final thought of the night. We're going to let you go out with a bang, all right? Hey, thank you so much for being part of the show. Thank you. Oh, man, that was tough. That was a tough exit, man. We're talking about the greatness of loyalty, and he's got to throw in number 22 and number 30. All right, let's go back out to the phone, 646-595-2048, 646-595-2048. Let's go now to the 985, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
Oh, Gary, how you doing, man? Where to start?
Oh, man, I know.
Swagger for life here, man. Listen, a couple of things. Number one, I want to thank you for the spot on reporting for the past 72 hours. I think what you hit on was right on the money the whole time. Thank you for that. Whoever's throwing you under the bus, they need to be thrown under the bus, because there would have been
a lot
same thing in your shoes.
A lot of it's jealousy. You know, I mean, I can live with that. Whatever. You know, it's like, you know, I get disappointed when it's people that I've known for a long time, like, you know, Greg Cody from the Miami Herald. I mean, I've known that guy 30-something years, whatever, you know. But
right.
He, like, you know, he gets his jollies taking shots when he thinks he can, and it's right. You know, you gotta be able to take it in this business.
I gotcha. Al Golden, we as a fan base should be lucky to have that man as our coach right now. The pain he should be feeling with the screw job, basically, that Penn State put on him has got to be just so overwhelming. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
And I don't understand. I just don't understand the venom that's coming out of the Miami fan base right now, just wanting to lynch this guy. I mean, I have a theory on that. I don't really want to go there. I mean, I think that the divisiveness comes from, this was the man that took the community man's job, if that makes any sense. I mean, I think in certain aspects of the local Miami fan base, he will always be seen that way in that crew's eyes. I mean, that's just my opinion on it. But I think we should be grateful that Al Golden is our coach, that he's going to be here for the long term, that he has a chance to clean out what I call the sewer that was left from before the previous regime, which is still not done. I mean, you said yourself, you know, I mean, we're playing with basically, he's had two recruiting classes, you know, throw out the first recruiting class. I mean, he hadn't had a chance to even get his kids in yet, and we want to knock them out. I mean, he stuck with us through thin and thin, thick and thin, through, you know, through the sanctions. You know, he's a stand-up guy. He's a leadership guy. I mean, I just don't understand it, Gary. I don't understand the venom.
Yeah, I don't either, and it's got to be frustrating for Al. You know, he hears a lot of it, and you know, it's got to be, you know, make it very tough for him when people are calling for the firing of his coaches and things like that. And you know, he's got all the security in the world. He steps up and takes the bullets for him, and always tells everybody, "Blame me, blame me. It's my responsibility to fix this and fix that." And you know, obviously, he's got to get to the point soon where he doesn't have so many things to fix. But you know, it frustrates him. And like I said earlier, I'm not totally convinced it didn't have something to do with him being interested in going to Penn State, to be honest with you. I mean, it's got to be brutally frustrating to listen to all the noise, to hear about what guys like Luther Campbell are writing, to lose these local recruits when the state of Miami is supposed to be your base. I mean, you know, we don't need to cry him a river. I mean, you know, obviously he's a head football coach. He makes $2 million plus, but it's been tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it has been. I mean, another thing on the D'Onofrio front, I've been a big proponent of making changes on defense, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like you. I can understand why he's taking a look. You know, he's sitting down at his desk and he's looking at the paper and he's like, how can I at this point? I agree with you on that point, even though I do think the defense needs to show some improvement. I think that's going to help in, well, you know, with recruiting. A couple more recruiting classes, we definitely need to get in some top 10 recruiting classes. I definitely think getting into the recruiting side that Javonte Valentine is a huge loss. You had a caller earlier that said that, you know, O-line, D-line, linebackers, and the QBs, he was right on the money on that. That's what we need to concentrate on. A note from recruiting over here. I'm over here in Louisiana. Kenny Young, the sexy pick right now for these guys over here is Texas A&M, and that's what the local media is writing about over here as far as for that guy.
Yeah, I'm stunned at the way they're infiltrating Louisiana. Stunned.
Yeah, they're not too happy in Baton Rouge right now. The Under Armour was devastating for them.
Well, they're feeling it bad.
They're going to get four guys.
You don't need to cry a river for LSU either. They're still getting plenty of great players, but they probably kind of feel a little bit how people here in Miami feel in losing some of their better talents.
Right, correct. I don't know if it's a trend around the country. Probably not, but I'll let you go, Gary. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, man. Thank you so much for being part of the show. 646-595-2048. 646-595-2048. Let's go now to the 850, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Dwayne 18, Greer.
What's going on, man?
How are you?
Doing good. Thank what can we do for you tonight?
I think, first of all, I want to say that you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
With the reporting and everything. Like you said, I feel like I'm getting a bargain. I've got a couple of points that I want to make, not much of a question. And the first thing about Al Golden, you know, any of us, if we was offered a job making more money, and especially for my alma mater, we would listen. I mean, we owe him that courtesy to listen. He didn't say anything about it. You know, you got to give him, like you said, plus A1 for it. He didn't come out and make any statements, didn't deny anything, and he didn't confirm anything. The second point that I would like to make is about changes in the staff. If I'm going to make changes in my staff, it wouldn't be in the middle of the recruiting process because these kids have built a relationship with these position coaches, and if I all of a sudden change them, then I have maybe have a chance to lose some of my recruits. So it looks like I would wait until after this cycle goes through, and then if I want to evaluate or whatever I'm going to do or maybe change them, tweak them a little bit, I would do it then. What you think?
Yeah. But I agree, but at the same time, I'm not sure if you were planning to do that, that you would have come out today and made an announcement that you're keeping everybody. So, you know, I don't expect any dismissals. I really don't. Would not be shocked if one or two coaches chose to leave on their own at some point down the road, but I'm not expecting Al Golden to fire anybody.
Right. And the lack of talent that's been on defense, I mean, how can you assess the coaches? I mean, we've got, I hate to say this, but round pegs trying to fit in square holes because you got kids that was recruited by the previous regime. Someone was quarterback, and we're trying to get them to play what we're trying to play now, the different coaches and everything else. So, it was just a like you said, it was a total mess. And we're talking about blaming.
I'd be yelling and screaming that if I hadn't said it for the first 2 years. I was like, you can't evaluate these guys, man. You got to wait till year three when they've got this team a little further developed. Well, year three just came and gone, and it wasn't better than year two. So I can't tell you guys that anymore. You know, I think that it is open for evaluation. I think it was not good enough this year. But, you know, what has to make you feel good is that the head coach is a stand-up guy, and he is standing
right
up and saying to you that we know it's not good enough.
Right.
Now, he thinks he can fix it with what he's got there. And he's going to, you know, he's the one that's going to, you know, live and die by the sword on it.
And then once we get that fixed, we're playing these guys too early. Look at Tyreek McCord. He's going to be a junior.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. You're absolutely right. There's a kid that could be a decent player that's already going to be a junior, and he's just figuring out what to do. And that is part of the problem.
Right. Now, if he, and I think about it, if he was a redshirt sophomore, just not figuring it out. We would get two productive years from him, probably, you know, if, at least. And look at Chicolo. He'll be a senior next year, and he's, you know, by the time he got his body right, he was thrown in the fire. He had to play early. I mean, you know, and if we got to evaluate the coaches on this right here. I think, it, like you said, it's a lot of problems that had to be fixed and for everything to line up for our defense. And we're just going to have to give him time. And we're talking about D'Onofrio, but D'Onofrio takes his marching orders from Golden. So it's just as much Golden defense as it is D'Onofrio.
It is. Man, this is painful. You got to excuse me for a minute. I got to take a deep breath. I'm just watching Florida State running onto the field at the national title game and putting the spear in the ground at midfield at the Rose Bowl, man. And it's bringing back memories. I can remember being on that field, standing next to Warren Sapp, the fireworks going off in the sky, thinking Miami has won the national title. And that darn yellow flag coming flying about 10 seconds later. Oh, my God. All right, I'm over it. Let's get back to business. You got anything else tonight?
Hey, but how about me? I'm living in the heart of Tallahassee. I'm in Tallahassee. And
oh,
I'm
God.
A huge Miami.
Oh,
so
my God.
How do you think I feel?
Go Auburn. Go Auburn, baby.
That's where I'm wild at all. All week long. I mean, I live every time I move at work, I got a Florida State fan.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine every grocery store you walk into, every gas station you go to buy gas, you're going to have to look at national championship T-shirts and hats and jackets. Oh, my God. Go Auburn is all I got to say. All right, you got anything else tonight?
No, Gary, I think you're doing a great job, and I appreciate everything that you're doing, and I just hope everybody just decides, hey, we're going to have to ride this out. Basically.
Man, can't thank you enough, and thanks for the call tonight.
All right,
646-595-2048, 646-595-2048. Let's go to the 814 now, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Gary.
How you doing? Who's this?
It's Kane DeWin from State College. Just want to say thanks for all the work.
You live up there?
Yeah.
Man, oof. That's a goofy place, man. I can't believe what they did to Al Golden. I really can't.
Well, I got a few things on that. And I listened to Joe Rose this morning. I was a little upset. What I don't understand, some of the posters, I mean, calling you out, you know, when did you make an official statement? You never did.
We put out a story Sunday morning saying that they had an agreement in principle, which they did, for Al Golden to become the next Penn State coach, and that we were anticipating a Monday press conference. And we put that out Sunday morning after holding on to it for almost 24 hours. And the reason for that, as I said earlier in the show, was we only had three confirmations at that point, and we felt pretty strong about it. But we didn't feel strong enough to put it out yet. Saturday night, we got a fourth confirmation, which was even stronger than the first three. And I made the decision to put the story out Sunday morning. And you know what? You know, obviously, you know, you might say, man, you must really regret that. But I don't, because, you know, we felt strongly that the information was accurate at that time. And obviously, Coach Golden was still expecting that to happen because he didn't pull out till 4 o'clock. And I think at that point, the pressure just got way too deep. Penn State was having its own internal problems getting the contract finished and approvals and things like that. And Al Golden reached the point where he couldn't wait anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and another thing, I don't know, you know, like with Joe Rose and the people probably check the message boards, but, you know, when you start a thread, you know, giving us updates, that's never official statements in my mind. And, you know, some people might say that.
We consider it official when we put it on the front page as a story.
That's what I'm saying. You were holding off on Saturday. It was a 4 o'clock update on Saturday afternoon, and you were probably 5% away from putting that on, you know, the front page, and you never did. And I just think the posters on the board should respect the fact of just the updates that we get that, you know,
and that's
a lot
what we're
of
here
people
for.
Don't get.
We're here
and,
to do
you know,
that for
it just
you guys.
Goes back to even, like, I would say the worst updates you ever gave that were in bad news, not by your reporting, were, like, the Matt Patchen updates. Those are the updates, you know, that us posters should take, you know, that we're getting information, if it's good or bad, that it it doesn't matter. It's updates that a lot of other fans around the country just aren't getting, and we're getting inside information. You know, if it's positive or negative, you know, people need to understand that, you know, it's information that people aren't getting. And that's what we're paying for. And nothing that I saw that you have is an official statement that, you know, you're getting knocked for. And it's, you know,
Phil Gross is a good guy up here.
And
he's an institution.
I feel bad for him. You know, a lot of people respect him up here, and, you know, I do.
I feel bad for him because he's so upset. You know, he's really upset about what happened with that story to the two of us. And, you know, I take it a little bit better than he does. You know, I mean, I'm a little younger. I understand that, these things can happen. I know the difficulty of reporting coaching stories. And, you know, but he has nothing to regret. I mean, I've been doing this for 30-plus years. The sources that we had on this story were very highly placed, impeccable, and it just changed. The story changed Sunday afternoon, and there's just nothing we could have done about it.
but I can give you guys, my updates from here are just I totally agree, you know, living here my whole life. You know, this Board of Trustees up here is a complete mess. Basically, what I see, you know, fans up here are kind of divided. They want that Joe Paterno type tradition. They want that type, and then they want someone like a Franklin or a, you know, that's just something that's different than Penn State. They're a little brutal with, you know, Bill O'Brien leaving, but Bill O'Brien leaving the NFL is kind of like Al to Penn State. I mean, the NFL is Al's Penn State. I mean, that is his dream job. I've heard it for years. It's just the way it is. But in my thought, when do you draw the line? When does the honeymoon end with your alma mater? I mean, will it ever end? I mean,
I think it has now.
Yeah.
I think they screwed him over so bad on this go around that I would bet the ranch that honeymoon is over now. I mean, he has got to be so angry. And he was a shaken guy today, let's be honest. I mean, that was not the normal Al Golden that we saw at the press conference today and on the radio with Joe Rose. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story. You know, when he has these press conferences, we transcribe what he says word for word. And Matt Schodel, who you guys all familiar with, that guy can type like about 100 words a minute. I mean, I've never seen a guy type as fast as Matt can type, and it's really cool. So, you know, we transcribe these press conferences, and you know, I'm sitting behind Matt, and the press conference ends today, and Matt turns around to me and says, "Story's up." I'm like, "How the hell did you get the story up so quick?" He's like, "Oh, this was a piece of cake. Golden talked at half the pace today that he normally talks. It was easy to keep up with him." And I just started laughing, and it was really true. He was very deliberate today. He talked very slowly. He measured his words, made sure he was saying the right things. But you know what? I mean, I hope everyone, you know, gets off his butt. I mean, I have nothing but respect for that guy, really. I don't know.
I'm glad it happened. I mean, I've been hearing it for 3 years now since, you know, I've been born and raised up here. But, I mean, I'm a born Cane. Once the job at Penn State would become open, Al would come. Now, this will might upset you, because Penn State's a better school. It's a better opportunity for him to win a national championship, blah, 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 getting tired of it.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Well, I don't. I'd have to listen to it every day.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
I'm sick of it, but, you know, I hope Al succeeds, and I just my final statement here, you know, he's got a good family. I know him. They love it down there. I mean, give the guy a chance. I've said in many of my posts, you know, I really think, you know, the past 12 years, you know, we always say, "Oh, we need a 3-year, 4-year plan." I really think this is a 5-year plan. And,
absolutely is.
I'm going to stick by that. And just give the guy a chance. Don't run him out of town. I mean, you know, we don't have the money to, you know, just give him a chance. He's a good guy, and, you know, I hope the South Florida I'm not afraid of alumni up north and fans up north. I'm just afraid of South Florida, you know, fans not showing up, not giving them a chance, you know, doing banners around the stadium. Just stop it. I mean, it's all about the U, and I'll continue my life here in State College with these crazy fans. And I will mark it down that Miami will win the national championship before Penn State ever will. So thanks for your hard work, Gary.
Hey, before you hang up, what's the buzz in State College today about the Al Golden withdrawal?
The buzz is, like I said, 50% of I'd say the younger fan base wants – they don't really know the Joe Pa era. They want like a Franklin – so they're not upset. They actually they said that if Al Golden were to go to Penn State, that Miami would become the winner. I don't believe that. That's that. They're just curious. They're shaking their heads right now. They're nervous. Their fear is maybe Larry Johnson will be their last choice.
Yeah, that would not be good for them.
No, it wouldn't. And they're really. No one knows anything up here. I mean, it's hard. I heard a few things, you know, over the weekend. That's past us now. But, I mean, this has been a rough, you know, 3-4 years here. And, you know, they – actually, I kind of think it's funny. I mean, as much crap as my family has gotten, you know, my whole life here, you know, it's kind of karma. This isn't the pretty school that, you know – everyone in America once thought was, and now they're struggling. They can't find a coach, and I'm laughing.
They really are struggling. They were back at square one this morning. I mean, they didn't have a candidate, so they are
and
struggling
as a fan,
now.
But
they deserve it. They deserve every bit of it because they screwed over Al Golden. They really did.
Yeah, and you know, I have a lot of friends up here. I mean, a lot of my buddies I went to high school with, they went to Penn State, and I respect them, and you know, and they're. You know, some of them respect me, and you know, just a lot of people, you know, hate Miami. That's one thing, but they are square one, not as on the board of trustees, but square one of they have no idea what's going on right now. So that's the buzz I'm hearing up here, and they want something fast, just like they reported. You know, they wanted something in a matter of days and not weeks, and they're not getting it, and they're kind of scrambling around. And, They're not sure what's going to go on. So that's that. My dad went there. He wanted me to tell you that real quick, and that's why we came.
All right. Tell your dad we said hello. Hey, thanks for the call, and thanks for the report from State College. And give us a call again down the road.
All right. Thanks.
All right. 646-595-2048. 646-595-2048. Let's go now to the 907, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm dying. Auburn just had a receiver wide open down the field, and the quarterback threw it into the dirt.
Those kill me because they're game-changing plays that you forget about at the end. You know, that was a touchdown. Auburn's up 7-0. If they just put it in his hands, that was just bad. Oh, so many things. Okay, so I'm a Golden supporter and a Gary supporter. I think, you know, this weekend was tough for both of you guys. you know, I can't even imagine how you, you know, had to finally pull the trigger on the story and then it blew up and nobody can confirm anything now and there's nobody going to ever confirm anything because, you know, nobody's going to say anything.
I'm fine with it. I knew the risk. I had to make a decision, and I don't regret decisions. You know, the story was accurate at the time it was put out. We have knowledge of what happened, and it's all good. Whatever.
Let me just ask you this: you may not be able to tell me, but how much of it did you personally confirm versus how much you got from the Penn State guy?
It was probably 50-50. You know, he had his sources. I had mine.
So your sources were telling you the same thing, confirming the same thing his sources were telling you.
Correct.
And were most of your sources up there, or were some of them down here?
Both. and elsewhere around the country. Just to give you an example of how hard we worked this story, I mean, I had a source that we even vetted the contenders. I had a source that was friends with James Franklin, and I had that source call James Franklin to feel out what he was thinking about the Penn State job and report back to me. And it was funny what I found out, because, you know, James Franklin was kind of hoping Al Golden would get the Penn State job because he wanted to make a run possibly at the Miami job. Now, subsequent to that, a couple of NFL teams have come after him as well. So I don't know if James Franklin would have gotten the Miami job had Al Golden left today. But that's the degree that we attacked the story at. We even reported and did our due diligence on the other guys that were being considered for the job by Penn State. So, you know, we did the best we could.
Well,
the sources,
I
can't tell you who they were, but I can tell you they were really good.
Of course.
And to this second, I don't doubt the information. The only thing I'm wondering about is the interpretation that the deal was done, and maybe some people might have had a false interpretation. But I don't think anybody expected when those guys went back to State College to find the division that they found when they went back up there and told people that Al Golden was their guy. And so
that
I think that was an unexpected development.
It sounds to me like they had no head guy doing the job. You know, it sounds to me
they're
like they had different factions. And
yes,
some people thought they had the authority, and they didn't have the authority. And,
yes,
you know, and I've been in those situations. So it's like, as I said on the board, I pointed out, I said, you know, this should have been the AD making this, you know, there should be one point man when it comes to hiring. And they
yeah,
didn't
but the
have
AD is not really an AD. He's not really an AD. I think he was a trustee that they made AD. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, he doesn't know how to do a coaching search. They
right.
don't know how to do
All
a
right.
coaching
so let me,
search.
So let me get off that for a minute and switch to a couple other things. It's the board, okay, the Canesport board. Right now it's awful. I mean, I can barely go and read it anymore. I mean, with the super high percentage of people who have nothing else to say except fire Golden, fire. And a lot of this came from this weekend. I mean, before this weekend it was pretty much fire, you know, D'Onofrio, and Golden better replace him, but now it's fire both of them, and it's too many people. How do you manage the board and decide when it becomes so negative that you got to do something about it?
We do the best we can. You know what? We try to give people slack. We understand. You know, it's been for Hurricane fans, it's been a long, long, long 10 years. You know, really has.
Well, you know,
I mean,
having been a fan since the 60s, I have a lot longer view
there's a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. You know, look, everyone, and I think I wrote this the other day, goes through a lot of things in their lives. You know, you got issues at work. You know, people have marital problems, family problems, health problems. Everybody, you know, has different types of problems and issues in their life and things like that. And, you know, people that, you know, they tend to look to their sports and their passion for their sports teams as an escape from all that. And, you know, I think there's a lot of frustration, you know, a lot of frustration. And, you know, so we try to give people some latitude, and, you know, I grimace when they push us to the limit. I mean, some of these guys were real a-holes this past weekend, but you know, we try to give them the benefit of the doubt to the max that we can, until it just becomes too much. And
Well, I hope it tilts a little bit, but I guess it will eventually start tilting back some. I mean, I hope we don't have to wait till the first game next year before there gets, you know, tilt back towards some more positive stuff, you know. But let me get one last thing about the team itself and the coaching and all this kind of thing. I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same belief that you are, that it's a puzzle. It's not one thing. It's all bunches of things that are the problem and have been the problem, including the lack of offensive production that put the defense on the spot after we lost Duke. And, you know, I just think there's a bunch of moving pieces, which is one reason why I'm willing to give them another, you know, year and even maybe 2 years to get this together. But there are a couple of areas that, you know, really stood out as questioning, you know, that I didn't understand. And the offensive line was one.
And my question to you is, how much of that do you put on Keo's shoulders? Because that was supposed to be the strength. That was, you know, was it because just because Duke went down that they didn't perform well, or as well as we expected, or do you think there's a coaching issue there? And secondly, on defense, there's been a lot of posts recently saying players are starting to be negative against D'Onofrio. And how much do you believe that? And what's your information there?
Oh boy! All right. Number one, I'm not trying to avoid your question, but I don't really have an answer for that, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought that the offensive line was way too inconsistent the entire year. And I don't really understand why, considering, you know, you had veteran guys that played a lot of football. It was confusing to me. You know, I thought McDermott struggled a little bit this year. Obviously, you know, he ended up splitting time with Wheeler as the year went on. Chantrell Henderson, you know, did his typical space out on the football team and ended up being a zero. And I just felt like all the moving around and all the upheaval and stuff really affected the level of those guys' play, and I don't think they ever really became a cohesive unit the way an offensive line needs to be. So, and then, of course, it all culminates in the bowl game with how poorly they played there, and, I mean, that was abysmal. So does that mean fire Art Keo? I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's like I have a hard time, you know, blaming coaches by themselves for everything. I mean, I don't think the Russell Athletic Bowl was Art's finest moment. And I think he would agree with that. I mean, his guys didn't have a clue what they were doing out there. But, you know, I don't know that that means you fire Art Keo here at Miami for a second time, a guy that's, you know, part of the wall, you know, part of the paint in the building. I mean, I can't go there.
I agree with you. I don't know either, you know, but the thing that he did have control over, he couldn't control how well they finally played when they got on the field, but the moving them around thing was not injury related this year like it was last year. So that's his choice.
It's his choice in tandem probably with Al Golden and maybe James Coley. Yeah, and I hope that that's something that you will see that they will correct by next season. I'm hoping the next year they're going to pick their best five and they're going to go with them. Obviously,
right.
You got to have backups ready. You got to have backups ready. Everybody does, obviously. But for the meat of the football game, when the game's hanging in the balance, I like having five guys on the offensive line that are used to playing with each other and play in tandem.
Right. And what's your take on Morris's staying as the starter through thick and thin? Was he that much better, or was it just that was the one guy that Golden just felt he had to stay loyal to because he was a senior?
Yes, I think Al Golden was – there was no way Al Golden was going to take that senior year away from Stephen Morris after everything that Morris stuck with them through. And, you know, I think that there were moments probably where it was discussed.
He should have pulled him.
In the confines of the meeting room. I really do. I think there were moments when it was discussed. But – you know, I think in the end he made the right call. I don't think it would have been right to take Stephen Morris's senior year away. I wish Stephen Morris had done some things differently. I wish he'd played a little better. I wish, you know, fans weren't sitting here talking about him yucking it up on the sidelines during losses. And, you know, I do think there's some fairness to that. And, you know, I witnessed some of it myself. But you know, at the end of the day, it would have been really hard for Al Golden to take his senior year away from him.
Well, let's hope now, starting now, it's totally Al Golden's choice of who's going to be quarterback, and hopefully it's totally going to be based on ability. You know, three people never started. He doesn't have any loyalty to any of them, except, you know, obviously the older one, but still, I think he's going to strictly go by ability and who's going to get the job done, and even if it's a freshman, you know, so I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that that's a change. From
it's
going
to be hard for
a
freshman to start next year. You know, I think Ryan Williams is your quarterback at the beginning of the season.
Well,
and then
depending
on how he does, we'll determine.
There's obviously a track record in the last 2 years in college football of freshmen performing pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. We're watching one tonight.
Texas A&M and Florida State have shown that you can start a freshman and be successful. So You know, if one of them jumps out, I'm hoping he gets to start. And that last question I had about the defense, have you heard any of this stuff about defensive players not being happy?
Honestly, yes. You know, I have. And you know, I think that there are some things that have to be adjusted in Coach D'Onofrio's coaching approach and the way he's communicating with some of these kids. Do I blame that for their problems on defense? No, I don't. But I do think it's one of many issues that they're dealing with on that side of the football.
Do you think we're going to lose a few players by transfer because of it this year?
Not necessarily. No, not necessarily. I mean, I think if anybody transfers, it's because they're not playing, not because of that.
Okay. Because there's been a few names on the board mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, who are you specifically asking about?
I don't remember. I just remember a couple people on the board mentioning a couple players who they said were unhappy and were considering transferring. I can't even tell you who it was or who they mentioned.
I mean, if they're unhappy, they're probably not playing. But when you get your butt kicked the way those kids have been getting their butt kicked week after week after week, you know,
right.
Obviously it's possible.
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, thank you for all the time, and thank you for all your effort, and I'll keep my fingers crossed that some of the more – oh, God. Oh, no. Jeez, what was that? I'm watching the game. I'm hoping that the board will – more positive posters will start posting more, so at any rate. And thanks for your efforts.
Message well sent to them right now. Thanks for calling tonight.
All right. Okay, take care.
All right, 646-595-2048, 646-595-2048. Florida State leads Auburn 3-0 in the middle of the first quarter, and we're going out now to the 863, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Doing good. Who's this?
This is Jefferson. I'm calling you from Lakeland. Hey, man, I just want to say job well done. I greatly appreciate it. I've been a Hurricane follower from the time I was a very young man. My cousin actually played for the University of Miami back in the day when O.J. Anderson was the running back, and I'm sure you recall Kenny Johnson,
mm-hmm.
who played blocking back for O.J. And I ran into a couple of ball players many, many, many years ago when I was stationed in San Diego. I retired from the military. I'm going to bring the name up to you, Fred Robinson, Fred Big Dog Robinson. You remember him?
Yeah, I remember him. Yep.
Okay. Me and Fred used to sit in Balboa Park when he played for the San Diego Chargers, and we used to talk about Miami all the time. We were definitely diehard hurt.
Still there? Did we lose you? All right. Sorry, you'll have to call back. All right, let's go out now to the 330, where you are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing?
Hey, Gary, how's it going?
Going good. I feel bad for him. He was just getting on a roll.
I know.
Line went dead on him.
Familiar with. Hey, Gary, I was taking a look at the Rivals recruiting ranking from 2010 to the current.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, in looking at that, these classes that we got weren't bad. I mean, in 2010, it was 16. 2011, of course, was 36. 12 was number 9, 13 was number 20, and currently we're at number 8 in Rivals. I mean, some of the teams that we're struggling with, I mean, Virginia Tech is 20, 21, 27, 23, and 19. North Carolina is 29, 16, 44, 42, and 17. Georgia Tech is 44, 41, 57, 85, and 45. Duke is in 2010 is 72, 2011 77, 2012 52, 2013 68. I mean, you know, this thing about we don't have the talent and we need better talent is ridiculous.
It's really not. I don't think you can go by what you're talking about. I mean, you know, a lot of those players in the Miami recruiting class have not shown up. I mean, if you go take a look, and I don't have my notes in front of me. I did this in the off season, but if you take a look at the attrition from those recruiting classes during that time frame, you know, 10, 11, even 12, and see how many players that Miami recruited actually made it and stayed on the team. It is absolutely staggering. This Miami football program has really been on probation for the last 5 years. When you factor in what's gone on with those recruiting classes and how many players dropped off and how bogus they were and the lack of impact talent on them and everything else. And, it is what it is.
Well, I mean, and part of it, I see what you're saying. And part of it, I think in large part, is due to Al Golden being a salesman. I mean, I think when you look at it, at some of these classes, to get the high ranking and to look good after signing day, he signed kids that he knew were not going to qualify academically. And so when they didn't get in, I mean, after the years, Miami's ranked, 8th or 9th or 16th. But in reality...
Right.
Yeah, in reality, it's phony, and Al knew that admissions know that before he signs a kid, whether or not he's going to make it in or not. And really,
yeah,
that's all.
They take some shots. I mean, a high ranking is always good for PR, you know.
Yeah, but he should still be held to that. But still, it's not the equivalent of what Duke's doing. I mean, come on, Duke, really? I mean. Even if we're not even close to those numbers, their averages is at like close to 70th.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just better coaching.
Duke is a testament to what good coaching can accomplish. I agree.
That's an SEC coaching staff because he came from Tennessee. That's an SEC coaching staff in the ACC. And, you got the same thing with Jimbo Fisher. You know, and I don't know. Maybe it's the administration not wanting to pay, not giving Golden the money to go out and get the kind of staff he needs, or maybe it's just Golden making poor choices with the coaches. So
yeah,
that's all I've got to say.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for calling. Give us a call next time. All right, let's go out to the 732 now, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live.
Hi, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Ken from Ocean Township.
Hey, what's up, Ken?
I missed part of your show today because I had to listen to my former roommate carry on for over an hour with what was going on here. When you
well,
talk
the,
about
the,
somebody
we'll have,
fanatic.
We'll have the podcast up later tonight.
Yeah.
You can listen to it later, after the
yes,
show.
I know that. And I started at the University of Miami probably about the time you were born, so I've been around a lot longer than most of these fellas. I'm probably one of the oldest people on the board, but I still enjoy football. It's a game to me, but bear with me for a moment. I could not in my life, and I think I put it on board. I might as well tell you my handle is Blue Bishop, so you know I don't use any profanity on the board at all. I don't believe in that nonsense because I think I was raised, my father, if he ever heard me use that kind of language, I would have had my mouth washed out with soap and water. But I could never understand why Golden ever considered Penn State. And the reason is quite simple, and I even put it on the board. I admit that I said the Penn State job absolutely stinks, and you disagreed with me, which was fine, but my reasoning was, their administration is in complete disarray. They still don't even have a permanent school president yet, and they still have the mess from Sandusky still left over. You have the cases of people going to trial. That hasn't been adjudicated yet. There is a divide there, the Joe Paterno faction, and
yep.
That is one of the main reasons O'Brien, who's a darn good coach, and obviously he's an NFL coach. That's the main reason. He threw up his hands. He made a very good salary, did a good job, and he said, I don't have to put up with this anymore. And the people got to realize Golden did not shoot for the job. Penn State came after him. He didn't go after Penn State. So, give the courtesy And I was speaking when I spoke to my former roommate, who lived in Phoenix, by the way, and I spoke to him. I said, what? This whole drama is basically over a 72-hour period, and these people don't even know what they're talking about. They make up stories. And he got really aggravated with the Bush-Davis thing, and I said, cool down. The difference between Golden and David, Davis, when he left. Did he appear for any interviews? No, he was gone. You couldn't even get in contact with him. And Al Golden had the guts to meet his obligation. He showed up on, I guess, Joe Rose show this morning. I saw the transcript.
Yep.
By the way, Matt Chabel, I give him a lot of credit, but he also came from a very good college, Tufts, I believe, and he's pretty smart. And the thing
all right,
is,
Ken, you're going all over the place on us here. Let's get focused.
Okay,
I got other people that want to get on.
Okay, I'll be specific now. Let me go with the recruiting. Am I correct that the first opportunity Golden came into was in 2011, and that was basically the leftovers of what Shannon's class was? And after that season, what was it, about six fellas left early, and at least four of them shouldn't have left, and we found out what happened. So really the first class, and we're still under the cloud with 212. These kids who are in the 2012 class right now are either this year in 2013 or now it's 2014, were either redshirt freshman or sophomore. The 2013 class is basically freshman. Now, the next year's class, 2014, will be his first opportunity for Al Golden to have junior. Redshirt sophomore to junior. So, and now you look at your possible recruit with obviously the emphasis is on defense. And it looks like, I didn't see him, but from everything I see, you look like you're really loaded on the defensive line, which we haven't been on the Golden yet. It looks like a shortage of linebackers so far. And I think the defensive backs look like they're going to be okay. But that's where you got to be fair with Golden. And you are correct. He is never going to entertain and ever offer from Penn State. I think it's all over there. So he's going to be
I'd
at
be
Miami at least the next couple of years. He's going to be
Ken.
At Miami. Okay.
I,
so that's about
I agree,
it.
I agree with
you.
I'd be very surprised. He's got to be very angry at those guys. All right,
and by the way,
so
your reporting, I do enjoy it because I even said on the board that I don't even subscribe to another store because you can get a little nutty with it. So I look at the papers and it's funny thing. The final, I'll give you one final thought. And I know some Penn Staters and I noticed the writers, especially in the Harrisburg Patriot News, they even say that Miami's a better job than Penn State. And the reason being, get this, because the talent is in the South. It's in Florida, you know, Louisiana, Texas, whatever. And he said, look at all the top teams are there, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, Alabama, LSU. And he said the Northeast is disappearing. We have our players, but they do not have the recruiting base that's in Florida. So if you want to come get close to being to a national championship or go to the NFL, you recruit in the South. And that's just the reality of it. All right. And again, thank
all
you
right,
so
Ken.
Much and I, for your time. And I appreciate your column. And hopefully we'll get some grown-ups on the board once in a while.
All right, Ken. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you next time. All right. Let's go out now to the 561, where you're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Gary. Yourself?
Doing good.
Yeah,
what you got
you know,
for us?
It's a great day to be a Hurricane. I ain't called in the show in a little bit. Been real busy a couple months. But, you know, we had talked earlier in the season, and you know, like we said, everybody was expecting us to be these world beaters this year. And, you know, I mean, I would have liked to see us win more games this year. But, you know, we two more games than what we won the year before. So, you know, he's not going to make any changes with the defensive coordinator. He's going to stick with him for another year. He's going to be loyal to him. And, you know, I guess, you know, hopefully he does do better because I don't think that he'll be able to stand the fire next year if they don't get it fixed.
Well, I mean, it's going to have to be better. I mean, you're right. It's a frustrated fan base. So, but, you know, I think you have to respect, you know, I mean, his right to make that decision. And he's putting his neck on the line. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of times, you know, a lot of things, situation, coaches get cut 1 year too early, you know. you know, everybody can have a bad year. I mean, I thought our offensive line was going to be much better than what it was. We were inconsistent. I mean, I was looking for us all year, you know, to line it up, hit people in the mouth. You know, Gus the Bus guy, you know, looking for him to get more carries. You know, it looked like it almost made it seem like our whole offense was we were going to depend on Duke to make the plays and sprinkling and everything else. It's like we didn't have a plan once Duke was gone. You know, it's like, where do we go? What was our identity? I didn't see it. I never saw a tight end this year. You know, so just, I'm a diehard. My Hurricane flag is still up in the window. Going to be there all year long. You know what I'm saying? 365 Hurricane, you feel me? But, you know, at the same time, you know, like you said, it's been a rough 10 years, man, since that night at the Rose Bowl. You know, it ain't been the same, baby. It's been a long road.
Yep, it has. All right, well, thank you so much for giving the show a call tonight, and holler at us next time.
For sure.
All right, you good? All right, let's go now to the 973. You are now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Gary, man. It's me again. Hope you're on mine, man. It's Ross.
Well, yeah, you got something else?
Yeah. Let me just I know I was strong before, but I'm just passionate. But, yeah, on the recruiting end, man, honestly, I'm going to be honest about it. I'm passionate. On the thing, what I'm concerned about, though, is we're getting guys. Like the guy said before, we're in the top 10 and stuff like that. I'm going to give this a chance because there's a lot of negativity out there. I wasn't being negative. I was just being real about what's going on. Like I said, I like Al. I like the defensive back coach. I like a lot of the coaches. But some of these guys need to be put on notice. Offensive line, struggling. Remember, at the beginning of the year, I called you with the juggling, and you started agreeing with me. Now, they're juggling around. I noticed that in the preseason game and spring game, and certain days, they like to juggle guys around, and that's it's just too much going on at Miami right now. Too many negative on the field, negative in the stadium. We can't get our own stadium. It's too many things that coaches out there could negative recruit about us, and we just need to come to a calm and make some things happen. You make it happen by what? Winning. I'm watching South Dakota State and some of these other teams in the ball game, and they just look more prepared. I think if fans are upset because we're not prepared to play the game, if we trust number 30, number 31, they should be prepared to play the game, and they're not prepared to play the game. And I think that's what we are upset about as fans.
Yep, and you're rightfully upset. It has to get better. But the good news is nobody's in denial. They know it has to get better.
Look, about transfers. I mean, I don't want to go all over the place about transfers. One, the guy made a point before that, you know, we keep recruiting tight ends, but we won't play. We can't pass them the ball. You know, we're doing bubble screens with a thick tight end. You know, with Clive, you can't do a bubble screen with him.
No. Here's what I'll say. To throw the ball to the tight end, you got to use the middle of the field. And that was a Stephen Morris weakness, and I think that was a big reason why.
But still, then if that's the case, don't throw the tight end the ball sideways. He's throwing the tight end behind the offensive line. And let me get this out. What's your thoughts about the starting quarterback? Because if we don't have a quarterback next year, we don't have a team. And
well, I think it's going to be Ryan Williams.
But you know what? Actually, I think it should go to Olsen. Now,
Whoa, time out.
Based on what?
Now, come on, wait.
Let me tell you. If they're equal in training camp, if they're in the spring game, you want to go with the young guy.
Who knows if they're going to be equal? Ryan Williams is miles ahead of Kevin Olsen.
Okay, but you know what? You're kind of the fault on this. You know why? Because I'm taking your lead and why you're saying that you don't really think that we're going to win, like, probably. But I think you think we're going to win around seven or eight games again next year. And I actually see what you're talking about.
I already know where I'm probably going to line up. It'll probably be right around eight.
Yeah, because we're introducing a new quarterback, no matter how you want to look at it. I've made points
new
before.
Quarterback,
that we're
developing on defense, going to be working a lot of young players in, tougher schedule.
Yeah, we, tougher schedule. We don't really know.
You know, Johnson coming off an injury. You know, who knows what how he's going
to
be.
Yeah,
you know,
I try to make this point that I want to cook. But here's the thing. Here's another thing that I think people are very disappointed with. Yes, Duke got hurt, and I know you don't like me to say this. I think the offensive line is the reason why he got hurt. The fact that they put us in a situation where we had to go for it on 4th and 1. But let me just make this point. Duke got hurt, and we had Dallas, but Dallas is a converted running back. The fact that we didn't have another running back developed all year, again, is a shame.
Well, Gus Edwards for a freshman did okay.
Yeah, but they didn't
And Eduardo Clements was always there, available to help.
Yeah, how many times did I get on the phone with you and say, listen, why are we just letting this guy run the ball once and twice and then taking him out the game, Gus Edwards? Why can't we put him in for a steady package? I don't get it, and I'm smiling right now because I watch Auburn look like they're trying to take this game over. You know, I root nothing for Florida State. I don't care if they're in the ACC. I care less. I've told you this already. I root for nobody in the ACC but Miami. It means nothing to me about them being in the ACC. I am a Cane, and that is – I am loving this right now. You know, but
all right,
let me let
a few more people go on, and then I got to
go.
Gary,
come on.
I'm starving.
It's a lot of things that need to be changed. And you did a good job. It's part of the business.
What a dummy.
Part of the business. All right.
All right. Well, I wasn't saying you were a dummy. I was saying the guy, the Auburn guy.
No, because now they get the ball back.
Can
I make one quick point though? You keep making the point that we didn't have a good talent in the back, as far as our defense guys. But again, if we're going to recruit certain guys and we don't redshirt them, just if you're going to lose with those guys. Okay. If number 30 is converted quarterback to a defensive back and he can't get it done, lose with the guy that you recruited. And this whole Randy Shannon thing did a good job stuff. Let me tell you something, man. The man didn't even have a proper meal plan for the team. And he burned a lot of bridges.
In fairness to Randy, he didn't get the support that Al Golden's getting from Miami. So,
but you know what?
You know, Al Golden has
because they
has all, had,
they also didn't see him. They started to see some stuff that they didn't like as far as coaching too, because he was going around the community burning bridges. You can't do it.
I mean, look, we can debate Randy Shannon for hours. Let some other people get on the show tonight. Thank you obviously so much for your participation, and give us a call next time.
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to tell you happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Oh, man, same to you. Happy New Year to you and your family.
All right.
All right, we're going to try to squeeze a few more calls in here tonight before we go eat some dinner. Let's go to the 917. You're now live on Cane Sport Live.
Hey, Gary, what's up?
What's going on? Who's this?
It's BK Hurricane again, Gary. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, you guys are killing me. Let these other guys get on. Go ahead. What do you got real quick?
All right, real quick. Why did Miami offer that kid from Florida when Isaiah McKenzie doesn't have an offer yet?
Which kid from Florida?
I mean, the kid from California. Brad Kai is a teammate. Or something like that.
You know, we changed that already. That kid might get an offer. He made a mistake. He hasn't gotten an offer yet. But Isaiah McKenzie's small, man. I mean, I was with him in Orlando.
But he's dynamic, though, Gary.
He is, but he's so small, and I don't know, man. You know, they're trying to get bigger at receiver.
I mean, but you saw him in person, though, right? This kid, right?
Yeah, he's really small. I mean, if he weighs 150
pounds.
How is
he as a football player?
Oh, he's very fast. He's got everything except size. You know, I don't know, man. He's really small.
Go to Lamarcus Joyner and look at Joyner.
Yeah, but he's way smaller than Lamar. He's smaller than Joyner.
Yeah, but he's good. I mean, we can find something for him, you know. Kickoff return, something.
Yeah, but he'll get killed, I'm telling you. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't really have a strong opinion there. I agree with you.
Cool.
He's dynamic. He's fast, the whole thing. I totally agree with you, but I understand why he's not being recruited. All right,
I'm going to let somebody else get on. All right, thanks a lot, Gary.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, we'll talk to you next time. All right, let's go to the 515. You are now live on Cane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Gary, I wasn't supposed to be on the queue, so you can
Go
to somebody else.
All right. Oh, yeah, you were on hold. Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. Let's go to the 770. You are now live on Kane Sport Live. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
What's going on? Who's this?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
It's Tony.
Hey, what's up, Tony? What
hey,
you
Gary,
got?
Not much. Hey, I was just, you know, just wanted to ask you a few questions about the coaching staff. Like, why hasn't Golden made any decisions on that yet? I know it's still kind of early in the process.
No, he did today.
He
announced today everybody's coming back, yeah.
Oh, they are?
Everybody's coming back as of today, yep.
Okay. What is your take on that? I mean, how do you feel about
I think
that?
It's his decision, you know? I mean, you know, it's his game. It's his show, you know? And I don't think anybody should tell him what to do. You know, I think he's the head coach. The head coach decides who his staff's going to be. Obviously, they do have a lot of problems they need to fix. I think they know what they are. And now they go on an eight-month mission to try to fix them. And if they, you know, if they come back next year and they haven't fixed them, you know, obviously all you guys are going to be going nuts. So, I mean, it is what it is. That's his call. I understand how he feels.
Sure.
I mean, you know, he puts a big premium on stability. He doesn't want to change, you know, all kinds of – he doesn't want to hit those kids with all kinds of change right now. And that's what a head coach's job is, to make those decisions.
Sometimes I think coaches, too, they also make these changes.
Usually they make changes to get the fans off. They usually make changes to get the fans off their butt.
Right.
They usually scapegoat their coaches. Al Golden's not doing that.
And I could, you know, kind of understand why he's doing that. But it's just, you know, as me as a fan just watching, you know, you kind of get frustrated with having these mediocre seasons. And everyone nowadays want that instant gratification. They want to win, and they want to win right now. So I understand what he's doing. It's just that sometimes you just get a little bit frustrated at times, and you hope that, it, like, right away. But I guess now we just have to ride the storm, see what happens.
Yes, sir. You are correct.
So, well, that's just my take on it, Gary. And not going to hold you. It was nice chatting with you.
All right, man. Thank
you for
the call.
I get in here and watch this.
All right, we got three more callers on the line right now. I'm going to get all three of you in. Let's go to the 601. You're now live on Kingsport Live. What in the world is that? I'm hearing a lot of noise. Are you with us or no?
You might have heard that.
All right, not sure what that was. Let's go to the 205. You're now live on Kane Sport Live. How you doing tonight?
How you doing, Gary? This is TJ from Birmingham.
What's up, man? You're actually going to be our last call tonight. What do you have for us?
Is there any chance? What's the deal with Sonny Michel? We got a good chance of flipping him back over, or it's pretty much a done deal? And
I mean,
the decommitment.
It still seems like a done deal, but, I mean, Georgia does have a very good running back in that class that he's going to have to compete with on top of all the other running backs they have up there. And honestly, I think Sonny Michel's making a big mistake for whatever reason he's making it. So I will never say never. You know, I don't know. I'm sure they will continue to try, but I can't make a prediction that he's going to split.
I can understand that. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, man, why would you go to Georgia? And they already got two established backs, and they probably got three more good backs, and, you know, on the roster that's going to, you know, they can fulfill those spots. So you think, you know, Valentine. The D-tackle that decommitted. Is any chance he's going to switch back since Golden?
No, I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, he clearly wanted to decommit and was looking for a moment. I mean,
a reason.
Well, yeah, let's be honest. I mean, you know, he couldn't wait. So, I don't know. I doubt he'll flip back, but you never know.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's all the questions I have. What about one more? Are we looking at another, like, you know, medium to big running back, you know? Somebody around 205, 210. We got anybody else on our board?
I don't know of one right now. They have a couple slots left in this class, and I'm sure right now what they're going to do is they're going to spend the next week or so assessing things and where they want to go from here, and they'll probably pick the best players available for the last few spots.
Okay. Well, all right. I guess I'll see you next Tuesday. Are we going to have
all right,
have
yeah, well,
next
our next show, we'll put a recruiting show together. We'll get Keenan Codrington back. We'll talk some recruiting and go from there. So thank you so much for calling tonight. And Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for tonight. Great show. A lot of good callers. A lot of good insight. If you came on late, we'll have the podcast up here in a few minutes. In the meantime, go enjoy the national championship game, and we'll talk to you next time on Kane Sport Live.